The Unexpected Caregiver is brought to you by the Northfield Retirement Community.
Tag, you're it. Ready or not, you're stepping into the role of a family caregiver. Now what? Kari Barrett is here to help with expert advice, knowledgeable guests, and a healthy dose of laughter to keep you going. The Unexpected Caregiver starts right now.
And this is Kari Barrett. Always good to be with you. Yay, it's the Unexpected Caregiver. And today we're talking about being in charge. In fact, the title is Be in Charge of Your Choices. Mostly directed at your adult parents, but also you, the family caregiver. So both parts, be in charge of your choices. And I have called in my colleague and friend in the industry, Jill Johnson. She is president of Johnson Consulting Services, a management consultant. She's impacted nearly $3 billion worth of business decisions. Her specialty is in senior living and strategic planning, and exciting that she was recently inducted into the Minnesota Women's Business Owners Hall of Fame. Welcome, Jill Johnson.
Hi, Kari. How are you today?
Good. Always good to have you in the studio live with me.
It's fun to be here live. A little crazy on any given day, but I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
Yeah, because we're talking about being in charge, and you and I are two women that like to be in charge.
Yes, absolutely. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that at all.
Yeah, I know. But we're talking today about being in charge of choices as we age. And I want to start off with just talking about when I have been in as a housing manager, and this was years ago, but as I talk to housing managers currently, generally in assisted living, for example, they have a waiting list. And so they'll call up Mr. and Mrs. Jones and say, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, your name has come up on the waiting list. Are you ready to move in? And say they've been on for, I don't know, 3 years. And what they're getting these days, what these housing managers are getting is, oh, no, we're not quite ready.
And that's a pretty typical comment. I've heard that for almost 30 years. Right. I mean, it's people making that choice to move into what they perceive as their last living environment is a really big decision. And it magnifies based on the economy, based on their savings, based on the amount of money that they feel that they have available. And what we've seen in the industry, particularly over the last 5 years since the economic collapse occurred in 2008, is this recession was different. It fundamentally changed how that age group that is the traditional sector moving into senior living viewed their ability to pay for those choices. And the whole pressure of money, it going back to the things that they were scared by during the recession, were amplified, especially because for many of them, they locked in the loss. Or they perceive that they, quote, lost money in their house. Okay, now maybe they only really paid $6,000 to $10,000 for that house.
Right.
But in their mind it's worth $300,000.
Yep.
And but now it's only worth $200,000, so I've lost $100,000.
Right.
And that's that phantom money is also become part of their thinking. So what's ended up happening for senior living providers across the country is that many of the people who in their late 70s and early 80s who were healthy enough to move into independent living historically have opted instead to stay in their own homes much longer.
Right. So we're talking about communities that have that independent living, they have assisted living, and then they might have dementia care. They can be a continuing care retirement community, CCRC, or they can't. I mean, a lot of places have those choices. So generally, a lot of times you come in at independent living.
Or it is a freestanding provider just independent
senior
living.
Yeah.
And so in the past, where people were coming in more for a little bit more of a lifestyle-oriented towards the end of life retirement, they're delaying that. They're waiting. I can live like that in my own home. And then what's happening is that as their circumstances change, because now instead of being 80, they're 85, 86, 87, and safety is an issue. They're no longer able to remain fully independent, but they've waited too long. They've bypassed that independent living stage in senior housing and congregate housing, and now they're coming in thinking that they're independent, but truly needing much more of the traditional assisted living support and services, but not being ready or able to pay those much higher price points because they thought they were just going to be moving into that lower cost independent living. And so it's creating some challenges for people who, because then when they move in, their expectations of what their lifestyle in the senior living community will be are very different. Their children's are different.
Yeah,
and then the provider is struggling because they're trying to provide them with what they really need. And you have that conflict and that headbutt. Or if it's a more traditional provider, like in some other parts of the country where you must be independent to move in because of the way they're structured price-wise, seniors are finding that they no longer qualify health-wise to move into the place that they had always expected would be where their retirement lifestyle would end them up. And so it's creating dilemmas on so many different levels, but the economics of it are a really significant driver. And we're starting to see more and more and more shifts. And there's some demographic anomalies at play that are also creating pressures. So the senior living providers are really, many of them are struggling in certain parts of the country, not because the provider's not fabulous at what they do, but because they've now got half of their residents are age 90 and above. But only a small fraction are actually taking and paying for the services that they really need. And they're having to either, you know, deal with issues on their own and struggling in their apartments, or their adult children are having to step in and provide much more supportive care.
Yeah, and before we go into the adult children providing care, the other phenomenon that I have seen for years in the industry, especially in independent living, is I don't want any old people to move in here, right?
Exactly.
I don't want any handrails.
Because those people are not like me, even though I'm shuffling and I'm using my walker, you know.
It's the whole notion of aging in place. And if we are going to move, if we are going to move into to independent living, we are going to get older.
Well, and that is the goal.
Right.
You want to know that a provider will allow you to age in place appropriately.
Right.
And that if you're simply using the tools of aging, whether it be a walker or a cane or something like that, but you're still living your life and you're still independent and you're having fun and you're able to interact and connect with people, that is the best type of an environment that you want to be moving into while you're still physically able, and then knowing what are the other resources and options as my circumstance will change.
Yes.
And am I going to get booted out? And if that's the mentality that you're looking for, trust me, that's not going to be the provider you want to be in, because then if you're the one that's going to get booted out, you want to be in a provider community where you can stay and be part of that network and support services for the duration of the rest of your life.
Right. And I know some of you out there listening may have questions, and you can always contact me at unexpectedcaregiver.com and just click the contact form. And if you have a question about this show or any other show, no problem. Fill out the contact form. And if you want to get in touch with Jill, I'll have her information that I can share with you too on the website. The show title is Be in Charge of Your Choices. And it really does make a difference. And one of the other shows that Jill and I will be doing is making a decision when to downsize, because that's part of this whole thing too. It's overwhelming.
It completely is.
To think of moving, whether it's you're the person who is 70, 80, whatever, thinking of moving, or you're the adult children going over to mom and dad's and thinking, oh my gosh.
Well, and that's because it's all about having to choose what to keep, what matters, what to let go of, and having lived through this now with both of my parents, my mother-in-law, as well as multiple aunts, and going through that process of the aging arc and seeing all the choke points of choice decision making, that's the piece that for most people is so difficult. But I find that people can have much more control over what happens to them and their stuff if they actively participate and have the honest conversation. I find most adult children are terrified to have that candid conversation with their aging parent, because they don't want mom and dad to think that they're looking for them to die so that they can get the china. And that's not it. I found, particularly with my mother-in-law, was when I was able to actually be the one to break through that wall, to have the conversation with her about, her home was no longer appropriate. I mean, she'd lived there 50 50 years. I understand how difficult this transition was to leave. But the truth was, is we couldn't change any more things. We'd widened doors. Mm-hmm. We'd removed all the rugs. Mm-hmm. We'd put in the toilet seat and the handrails and the bed rails. We'd done everything that we could to the physical space.
Right.
But it was no longer appropriate for an 80-something-year-old woman who had early-stage dementia. And when we were looking at it, what I finally just said to her is, Jen, let's think about what this house was built for and who it was built for. And it was built for you as a young woman with young children. This is the neighborhood that's designed for that. And it's no longer a home that's appropriate for a woman of your advancing age. And once she made that connection, even with early stage dementia, that's the point when she said, will you help me find the right place for me?
Yeah.
And we did.
And it doesn't have to be. We're not saying that the right place has to be a senior living community.
Oh, no,
But what we're talking about today is being in charge of making that decision. And just before we take a break, Jill, you mentioned the difficulty that adult children have in having these conversations. And part of it for the parents who are listening, if you're not willing to make the decision, that puts some of the adult children in that awkward position.
It is the worst place as an adult child because for an adult child, I was a very savvy consumer of senior choices, both in terms of care, in home care support, as well as other alternatives. Most adult children don't have that background. And so, for example, with my aunt, I loved Auntie Gert, but her boys who were doing all the things to keep her in her condo and all of that, it had gone beyond the point where they could manage it for her and still have any kind of life for themselves. So what they started talking amongst themselves is Auntie Gert needs assisted living, or we need to put her in a nursing home. And once I got wind of it, I finally had the conversation with Gert and said, look, if you don't make this decision, because I don't think you need assisted living, and I don't believe that you need skilled nursing. You just need a different environment. And we talked about what I thought that would be. If you make, do you want this to be your decision, Auntie Gert, and be in charge of your next step, or do you want it to be the boys? And she looked at me with all the clarity that she could provide, and she said, it's my decision. Help me figure it out. And I did. And for her, the last 3 years of her life, she was in control of. She was in control of her medical care. She was in control of her living environment. She was in control of all of those choices that allowed her to be herself, because that was Auntie Gert. And she had been, because of pain and health issues, she had gotten into such a dependent posture. And the boys were reinforcing that out of love. But what she finally got back, because I'm her sister's daughter, was her control and her choices and her life back. And it made everything so wonderful for her. Because even though she, you know, used a walker and had pain issues and medical issues to manage chronic conditions, Auntie Gert was still in charge, and she had a heck of a good time.
Well, and that's what we're talking about today, is encouraging the adult, the parents and the adult children to look at who's in charge, and seniors, to make sure that you, what ways can you still be in charge of the choices that you have and have to make as we are along this aging journey. We're going to take a quick break. My guest today is Jill Johnson. She has a company called Johnson Consulting. Her information will be at my website, The Unexpected Caregiver. And when you're at the website, be sure to click on the links to follow me on Facebook and LinkedIn, if you're on that, and also my blogs, because Jill and I communicate back and forth on Facebook, so you'll see some of the communications we have and the topics we bring up in this aging world. But we are going to be right back after we take a quick break, and we're going to talk a little bit more about those adult children and the choices and the connections. This is The Unexpected Caregiver, and I'm Kari Barrett. We'll be right back.
Choices abound at Northfield Retirement Community, with 8 unique living facilities offering a range of care from independent apartment setting to assisted living and nursing care. You'll appreciate the variety of housing and support services. In addition, Northfield Retirement Community provides unmatched on-site amenities, including a fitness and wellness center, cafe, chapel, theater, and more. For more information, call us at 664-3466. Northfield Retirement Community. Innovation. Choice. Tradition.
And welcome back to The Unexpected Caregiver. I'm your host here every week, Kari Barrett. Always good to be with you. Check me out at unexpectedcaregiver.com. Then you can learn about all my secrets or something like that. Maybe I don't reveal them all there.
Maybe not all. Maybe not all.
My guest,
keep a few under
wraps. I do talk about dancing a lot, though. My guest today is Jill Johnson, who runs her own company called Johnson Consulting, and she is thick as thieves in this senior housing industry. You've been in how many assisted livings around the country?
I've been in all types of senior living, from condos and independent living through skilled nursing. I've been in probably 2,000 to 3,000 properties over the course of the last three decades.
You know what? There was that, and I blogged about it. There was the Frontline special on Emeritus, it happened to be on, that talked about some of the scary, frightening things that happened in assisted living, and that really can shake people up. Not all assisted living.
Oh my gosh. Some of them are the most fantastic things. But I think it's also the responsibility of the adult children and the other loved ones in the family to show up at unexpected times. And that was when my mother-in-law was in skilled nursing, which because of her medical conditions and the advanced dementia and significant risk of injury from falling because of one of the conditions that she had, we had to employ skilled nursing to keep her safe because none of us could provide 24/7 support and supervision for her. But the thing about how I managed that 3 years in that environment was they never knew when I was going to show up. Sometimes it would be early in the morning, sometimes it would be midday, sometimes it was late afternoon or evening. And you know, and I tried to go at all these odd times so I could see what was the continuity of the staff, what types of support were they providing to the other kinds of residents, where were residents, you know, what kind of entertainment, what kind of programming. And by showing up at all those random times, it kept the staff on their toes as well. But what it also, over the course of that 3 years, did is reinforced for me that I had picked the absolute perfect and proper environment for her. And the staff there were very loving and very supportive. And when she passed, they probably had 30 people in her room at the very end before the she was taken away to the funeral home, where as a collective group they prayed and said their goodbye. And I mean, I was in tears because she wasn't just a piece of revenue for them. She was someone that they had truly connected with. And if you're careful about the choice, and that's the problem, though, because most people abdicate responsibility for thinking about what their options will be until it's in the middle of a crisis.
And that's what we've been talking about a little bit.
They don't, they don't know how to start looking for and being prepared ahead of time are what are the three options. They'll wait until a hospital discharge planner says, here are your three choices. And then all of a sudden, the family who's already in chaos because their loved one may have been ill or injured or had a major catastrophic event, say a heart attack or something like that, the family's in the throes of chaos. You don't make good decisions when you're in that level of chaos and drama. And most families aren't lucky enough to have somebody like me who knows how to walk in. And I have a sister who's a hospice social worker. So between the two of us, for my mother-in-law, we were able to collectively figure out exactly where the best options were. Most families don't have the resource and benefit of that. And then they have to rely on the word of strangers. And that didn't work very well for Blanche DuBois in Streetcar Named Desire.
It didn't.
So, you know, that's where families, if they take and start to have the conversations about how will we manage and how will we navigate, whether it's what kind of home care, what kind of resources do we have through our church to provide companionship, or, you know, if you're Catholic, bringing you communion, which is also a way to connect. I mean, what are those resources and options? But I will also say for the senior, you need to be supportive and willing to work with your family. If you get into that resistance mode, I don't want to talk about it, I don't want to think about it, I don't want to be involved in this, you decide, then the decisions about what happens in your later care and your later support are sometimes not the best options for you based on what you want, because you've never told anybody what you want.
Well, because we don't talk about this whole thing. That's what I go back to. We don't, you know, and that's what one of the pieces that I do in supporting
the families is that consultation piece mm-hmm. that I can do. You know, if people need that, they can certainly get in touch with me, because that is such an important to talk about what it is you want. But you
and before you go on, I just want to reinforce that for your listeners. The using a service like what Kari provides the family with an independent voice
right.
who can ask the questions, who is the safe zone for people to have the conversation with, and it can help to break down the barriers to the conversation and the barriers to decision making. That's why people hire consultants like me to come into their organizations, because we've got no dog in this hunt. We can be objective and independent and give the wisdom and perspective. And that's what you would bring into that. So I would totally tell your listeners I would have no problem endorsing you and having you bring it in.
Yeah, and I love doing it, because it, you're right. And when I have done it, it's a very special time.
And you have to bring the right trusted advisors in for that.
Absolutely.
Because there are so many charlatans out there. And when I do speeches on decision making, that's one of the things that I talk about is, you know, who are you bringing in? And it's really easy when you're naive about the options to just bring in the first random stranger who says, oh, you need insurance or long-term care, this or that, and they maybe only tour one senior living community or talk to one home care agency because they're just looking for the quick fix, and quick fix isn't always the best.
They don't work, and that's why I have a team of people that I work with that I've already vetted and trusted, and you are one of them. We don't have much time left, but I wanted to make sure that we got to that. You've been hinting on it. You've been hinting to it about it. Okay, anyway, you've been hinting around it,
Let me talk to it. What? Which is it?
It's that whole idea of connections, and when the adult child is placed in that role of making those everyday decisions, they lose that ability to really connect with mom and dad towards the end of life. And that's actually why I wrote The Unexpected Caregiver, was to encourage people. How do you make those rich connections?
I think there's two components to that. One is because the aging of life is a transition.
Right.
It's not generally something that just happens because of an instant medical concern or unique dynamic where one day everything is perfect and the next day it's all chaotic. Usually there is a very long transitionary period where mom and dad are slowing down. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden they're forgetting some words. And we don't always connect on those little dots as they're initially presenting to us. And then you start helping. And then all of a sudden you're doing everything and you've lost the ability to just be their child and connect with them because you're so busy doing. And the other facet that I see happen over and over and over again is that people are afraid they'll make the wrong decision.
Oh.
And so they delay, and I see it in business.
This isn't unique to aging.
No, it's not at all. But what it is this fear of, I'm going to do the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And so when in doubt, do nothing. Rather than take your power back, whether you're the adult child or the senior, and say, we are together going to figure out what is the best and right choices for me in how I need the support, and delegate beyond a single member of the family. I cannot stress that enough.
I know.
You've got to bring in the best skill set of everyone in your world.
Right.
And maybe it's a grandchild who will start to drive you to get your hair done, or it will be another grandchild or one of your children who likes to grocery shop who will take care of that. Instead of burdening it all on the one person in the family who steps forward. And if you're that one person, make the decision today that you're going to ask for help.
Absolutely.
I didn't realize until my sister-in-law finally said, I need help, how much she had been doing to support my mother-in-law in her home. And once she asked, bang, we were all in, what can we do to help? And we started breaking it down, and each of us had our skill set. I was good at finance and I can drive a car. My husband loves to grocery shop. And so he would give his mother her pills every morning because he would just swing by before work because his work was very close to her home. All of a sudden, that opened up my sister-in-law's life so that she could have a little bit of her own life back, which pulled the pressure off of her, which made her be able to be more present for my mother-in-law.
And because that's what's important, is being present. And I know the tasks have to get done. But and the other thing to remind people is, my brother won't do something like I will.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Or he won't do it as well. Let's put that. Yeah. Let's put it where it really is. People aren't going to do it as well as I. But, you know, I've had to let go. Yeah. I will advise and support other family members. Yeah. But I have to let other people step up and be a part of it to the best of their ability too. And for a control person like me who has no problem making decisions, that's probably been the biggest life journey and arc for me. But it's also been the one that's enriched my life the most because I've been able to really impact so many other people in our extended family.
That's so true.
Through the advice.
Good information. And I want you to make sure if you're listening that if you have any questions or thoughts or ideas, you want to get in touch with me because you do have some of these decisions to make and you need some outside help. That's what I'm here for, and that's what this program is all about. UnexpectedCaregiver.com. Find the contact form, easy to find. And you, like I said, you can follow me. You can order my book there. It's a website that is there to help support you in your caregiving and aging journey. Thank you so much, Jill, for being with us
today. It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for joining us on the Unexpected Caregiver Radio Show. You can download today's show at unexpectedcaregiver.com. Simply click on the radio link. Stay connected with Kari Barrett, download past shows, or order Kari's book, all at unexpectedcaregiver.com.
You've been listening to The Unexpected Caregiver, brought to you each Thursday and again on Sunday by the Northfield Retirement Community.